For our visitors, we've been talking about, we've been on a journey. And this journey is a 587 million mile journey. Any idea what I'm talking about? No idea at all. Huh? You know, we're talking about a trip around the sun. You know, it takes us 1 year to go 587 million miles. Well, people, I call it the last leg because today's the last day of this series. But we're not quite there yet. Okay. We have gone we've gone 307 million miles, but we still have 191 days to go. You know, so we traveled 67,000 miles an hour. Right now, we're going 67,000 miles an hour, but still 191 days to go to finish this journey around the sun. You know, maybe I'll come back and check in, you know, maybe something, you know, around this time next year or something to check in with you to see how your journey's going. But, you know, welcome to church today, people. You know, I'm glad everybody's here. You know, but I've asked this question every Sunday, you know, and you had to answer it yourself. You know, are you where you want to be in your life? Is there something on this journey around the sun that you need to do? Is there something on this journey around the sun that you want to do, but you just haven't done it yet? And when NASA plans space shuttle launches or any shuttle, you know, anything they launch, you know, they plan, you know, then they plan more, you know, and then it comes about. But what would all the planning be if they never had a liftoff? You know, go through all this planning, go through all the steps, get everything lined up perfect, but would be worth anything if they never had a liftoff? You know, many, many years ago, when we only had one kid, you know, Amanda and I, it was in the very first days of Disney World in Florida. Went to Disney World, you know, and that, I don't know if they still do. At that time, you could buy a 3-day pass. You know, we went for 3 days, you know, and we found out, you know, that right when the next day after our last day, they were having a nighttime launch of the space shuttle. You know, so I called, I got the last room at a hotel, and I couldn't believe that we got it. The last room, we were on a hotel right across the bay from where the space shuttle was taking off. You know, we had front row seats. I mean, it was unbelievable watching this at night. You know, the parking lot of the hotel, you know, it was just a big party. You know, everybody, you know, in chairs, you know, sitting in the back of pickup trucks, you know, blankets on the ground. You know, it was just one big, you know, to watch this. You know, and talking to a man, you know, that was there, you know, somewhere or another, I don't remember how he knew somebody. He said at one time, they had had personal invitation to watch a daytime launch. You know, said they planned, they took vacation, they made hotel reservations. They showed up that day, you know, there in the stands or wherever they are to watch the launch, and they're sitting there waiting. Guess what happens? Yeah, right when it's time, they say, okay, it's time. They make an announcement. Launch scrubbed. Something took place, you know, something happened, you know, there was no liftoff that day. You know, the thing is, you know, we can plan. You know, but we do not know what tomorrow will bring. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. And I said this the very first day. I'm going to say it again. In the words of Janis Joplin, tomorrow never comes. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Make the decision today. And it's an everyday thing to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. That you can tell yourself, you know, I'm going to put things on your calendar. But you do not know if that will happen. Make the decision today to follow Jesus Christ. You know, and it can be any kind, you know, all kind of decisions. You know, lose weight, gain weight, get your cholesterol down, get your blood sugar down, you know, do this or that. You know, you can make it, take it out, plant it, everything. But unless you take that step, you know, that first step, you know, to really do it, nothing's going to happen. You know, and I was reminded this morning when Lexi was singing in the early service, gosh, you know, the music this morning, Lexi, was great. You know, I sent, you know, send bulletin out, you know, tell Lexi, you know, I don't give her, I just tell her the title of the sermon, you know, and nothing else, but she picks the music for the early service. It was just, it's a God thing. You know, it just, this morning was perfect. But she's singing this morning, and I, you know, reminded of a book. There's a Saint Teresa of Avila. She's a saint in the Catholic Church. She wrote a book I read years ago, something Castle. I don't remember the first name of it. But she talks about, okay, we can walk up the sidewalk to the house, and the house is Jesus. We can get on the front porch. We can look around. We can open the screen door, exploring. We can knock and never do anything. We can turn the doorknob and open the door and stand there and never do anything. But what we have to do, every doorway has what? A threshold that you have to cross to step through that doorway. People, that doorway has been put there for you, for me, for the world, by God our Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. That you have to cross that threshold, step through that doorway, into that first room. And the way that she puts it, when you step into that first room, you're in the living room, you're just exploring. You don't really know what a relationship with Jesus is yet. That you have to explore through the house, go into the other rooms. You have to do more accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is doing more than just saying yes. Yes, that's good, but there's so much more that a relationship with Jesus Christ brains, that you have to take responsibility for your life. My microphone fell. That, but you have to take responsibility for your life. Okay, it's like, okay, you're digging a hole, you got a shovel, you can't stand there and lean on the shovel and expect God to dig the hole for you, huh? You know, like I told somebody this morning in early service, you know, if you have a garden, you got to go out and weed the garden, right? You know, you can put the weed cloth down and all that, but you got to water. You can't plant a garden and expect God to do all the work. That you have to take responsibility and do your part. Your part is spending time with God. It's walking through that doorway. You know, and one of the biggest factors in determining that, one, is coming to church. You know, and people, you know, gosh, I have people say all the time, I don't need to come to church. I can sit at home. Yeah, you can sit at home and watch TV. You know, yeah, if you like those on TV. But it's being here with like-minded people, being in a church surrounded by fellow believers. It's being with people that know and encourage you. They know if something's going on, you know, even if you don't tell them, you know, or if something is going on, that they can pray for you. You know, that you open yourself up to people, to believers. You know, that's one of the biggest things, you know, factors. You know, the Bible tells us, he who walks with the wise will become wise. But a companion of fools, a companion of fools will suffer harm. So it's about the people we hang out with. And it's not just judging people. It's about either being a drunk and stumbling all over the place or being sober and walking upright. Now, I'm not saying anybody's drunk and, you know, walking around, you know, stumbling. But you have to make that decision, answer that question yourself. In your relationship with God, your relationship with Jesus, are you stumbling or are you walking upright? And our anchor verse for the series, teach me to number my days, to number your days that you may gain a heart of wisdom. And James tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to you. That we are on a journey, and an incredible doorway has been opened for us by Jesus Christ, by God our Father. But it is your responsibility, not mine, it is your responsibility to take that step and walk through that doorway. You know, Casey said something at Bible study that night. You know, it made me open my Bible and look. You know, I hadn't looked at Genesis in a long time. You know, I said, I knew she was right, but I said, oh, okay. You know, that, okay, God created everything. 5 days. He created everything that is. What did he do on the sixth day? Huh? Man, yeah, see, how many people knew that? One. See, I caught y'all. You know, she caught me too. I had to go back. Not that I didn't trust her, but I had to open the Bible and check myself. That God created everything in 5 days. 6 days, he created man. What did he do the seventh day? He rested. You know, you think about that. Okay, God did everything. He creates man. Man is here, you know, one day. And what does God say? Hey, let us take a break. You know, what does man say? Take a break, I just got here. What do you mean take a break? Sabbath rest. Spending time with God. You know, talking to Dale and Lori, Miss Shirley. You know, Dale's Messianic Jew. He found a church, Messianic Jewish congregation, you know, saying they when they worship, hey, I ask y'all about this. When they worship 3 or 4 hours, huh? Could y'all do that? Huh? I asked them this morning, they looked at me and said, oh, I won't say what they said. You gotta be out of your mind, 3 or 4 hours. You know, growing up, there was 2 guys lived across the street from us, you know, way older. One ended up being a Baptist preacher, one a Pentecostal preacher. I took my mother one day to listen to the Pentecostal guy. We were there for an hour, and they took an intermission. You know, he came over and talked to us. You know, we're talking to him. As soon as he walked off, my mother said, let's get out of here. 2 hours or more, you know, and here we are. You know, if we go over an hour, you know, I hear about it. But I said, hey, you know, if the kids take more time, hey, too bad. You know, we're spending time with the kids. Train them right. We have to spend time with those kids. But Sabbath rest, you know, and Sabbath is every day. Spending time with God, our Father, and our Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's doing more than just going to him with a wish list or a to-do list. We had those things, but do you stop and listen to what he has to say to you? Do you listen to her?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You better say absolutely. You listen to her, Ben? Most of the time. Hey, an honest man. Mr. Jack, you listen to her? Huh? Do you listen to her?
Always.
Always. You know, something came up on my phone the other day, and I played it for Amanda. You know, my dad was always, he was sarcastic, always picking, you know, so I kind of get it naturally, you know. You know, I'm always picking on Amanda, sarcasm, you know, and, the thing came up on my phone. If I never say anything to you, I don't like you. But if I'm sarcastic, you know, it's just by nature. If I'm sarcastic, you know, and I say things to you, it means, hey, I love you. You know, do you love, not that you're sarcastic to God, do you love God enough to walk through that doorway, step across that threshold, and spend time with him every day? Humble yourselves in wisdom and pray for favor. Humble yourselves in wisdom. Pray for favor. Will you establish the work of our hands? It's more than just sitting back in a recliner with a remote, with a cold beverage, and expecting God to do everything. Take responsibility for your life, people. You know, and one thing about our Bible study, I forgot to throw this in. We decided Wednesday night, okay? Our next study is going to start July 10th. To give time for everybody to buy their books. But we figured July 3rd, you know, is the day before July 4th. Y'all know that? And people might be out of town, so July 10th will start our next study. Be Wednesday night, you know, everybody eats. Okay, but, you know, here we are. Here we are, you know, in the Bible study. We're finishing up Revelation. Okay. Jesus comes back, people. And he's here for 1,000 years. Satan is locked up. But then Satan is let loose. And what happens? Even after Jesus has been here reigning for 1,000 years, Satan is able to gather people to side with him, to come against and fight against Jesus Christ. Now we know in the end, God wins and Satan's thrown into the pit forever. But even after Jesus Christ is here, people still refuse to follow him and will follow Satan. We're in that place today, but I mean, every day since the beginning of time, God is here, but more here now. Jesus Christ is here in the power of the Spirit, but still, people follow Satan. Our passage today, Paul saying, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. Water, a wine, poured out on the ground as an offering, that when you pour it out, the ground soaks it up, but you can see where you poured it out. At the end of your life, can people see where you've been? Will people know you have been here?" Thinking about the book of Revelation, thinking about the Bible, what Jesus has done for us, we need to think about your departure. No, you're not saved by works. Don't go there. We're saved by grace. Only by grace. But think about your departure. Paul goes on to say, "The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but for all those who have longed for his appearing." Paul deserves his crown for all he has done, for all he did. But Paul tells us it's not only him that's eligible for that crown. You are, for all those that have longed for his appearing. Do you long for Jesus Christ to come back? Do you long to spend time with God, to be with Jesus, to know that when you leave here, you will see your Lord and your Savior face
to face. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Can people around you know it? That you've given your all. You know, I was reminded this week also that as one man put it, when I leave this life, he loved baseball. He said, I want to be like that runner that has an inside the park home run. That I run the bases fast as I can, running. And when I come across, you know, third base, I'm running towards home. Everything I have, I slide into home. The dust is flying, you know, and I get up and stand up, spent. I have nothing else to give. I want to serve my Lord and Savior like that. Rather than an out-of-the-park home run where you just kind of lazily jog around. You know, you get to home plate. Hey! You know, and you've given nothing. What is your life going to be in the end? Hey? Or everything you have is given to Jesus Christ? Do you believe in God the Father, Creator and Redeemer of the world? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, His one and only begotten Son, that in Him and by Him, and only in Him and by Him, you have forgiveness of sins? Do you believe that God sent Him to walk among us, and that He gave Himself, crucified on the cross for you, for the world? He died, was buried. The third day He rose. And He ascended into heaven. And He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And He is a name above every name. Have you kept the faith? Have you kept the faith? Do you believe? Have you been poured out like a drink offering? Have you stepped across the threshold into the doorway of following your Lord and Savior? Or are you just lackadaisical? Hey! What are you? When you leave this world, will the world miss you? Will the world even know you have been here? It starts today, people. Today, not tomorrow. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. To give your life to Jesus Christ. To step through that doorway today. Do not wait another day. Today. Amen.